Hello and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 3, episode 6, back with another episode after, I don't know, would you consider last week being a week off?
I would. It wasn't a traditional podcast, and it was shorter, and it was a different medium.
That's true. Whatever that's called. That is true, but we are back now, so you know what? I know all our listeners are going to be absolutely thrilled, but as always, I'm Thomas Bakernik, joined by Thomas Coburn and producer Paolo Gismondi. But yes, as we mentioned last week, in all the craziness of free agency, we did not do a podcast. We instead went live on Instagram for, I believe, what was the second time. But yeah, we got a lot to get into today. I guess we'll start with that, but we also have to get into the new weekly off-season tradition where I ask you what you did on the weekend. So I'll let you pick your poison. You know, we'll start with the weekend first, because it wouldn't be right before we get into all the craziness. What did you do? I noticed you got a very nice haircut. Oh,
beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
I think now you're looking, you're the new Justin Herbert on the show now after that. It's just so slick.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was hoping for a compliment. It's the only reason I wanted to do a podcast today. What did I do on the weekend? At this point, I don't really remember. I think I was watching, March Madness? I must have been. I think so. That's probably what I did on Sunday.
Wow.
I mean, electric. Have you been keeping up with, let's quick basketball talk here. Have you been keeping up with the tournament?
I have not.
Fair enough.
I've been, you know, like you can get everything from Twitter nowadays. It's like you get everything. Like I pretty much watched all the games just because I keep up with it on Twitter and social media. Like it's gotten to that point. But you know what? A couple years ago, I got really into it. I was making a bracket and thinking I was going to be like the guy that gets the perfect bracket. You know, there's always that guy who has a perfect bracket after one day and thinks he's like going to the moon. But no, this year, I don't know what it is. Maybe because NFL free agency just kept me so busy. I haven't really been all that into it.
It's been upset city. I think Michigan may be the only one seed left. I'm not a huge college basketball person. I barely watch. I'm a filthy casual. So if you're a diehard college hoops fan, wrong podcast. Wrong podcast. I can't even tell you one to go listen to because I don't keep up with it.
I don't even know how you got here if you're a diehard college hoops fan, but you know what?
Welcome.
I haven't been too into it. But who knows? Maybe what are we at? We're at the Sweet 16 now. We should have done a March Madness special episode where look at that. Producer Paul is updating us in the chat. Gonzaga and Baylor both number one still.
So like, I'm lost.
You're coming on here. You're not prepared.
So I think Illinois.
Illinois was the one seed and they got eliminated. See, I know that, and you've been watching. So that's kind of embarrassing for you. Yep. I think we should maybe restart. But what did I do this week? Sunday.
Yeah, in particular, I forgot to ask you. Please, yes. What did you do?
We always talk about movies.
Yes.
I actually watched 2 movies since we did our last podcast, which is probably a record for me. I really enjoyed them. But one that I didn't watch and one that I want to, and I know, you know, producer Paula might even turn the mic on when I say this. I'm really interested in this Justice League Snyder cut. I don't know. I know you're not a big superhero movie guy, but I've always loved DC Comics.
I do enjoy some of the DC movies. Yeah, I was about to say, as somebody who doesn't watch movies, you're going to watch a 4-hour movie?
Make a day
out
of it.
That's a big jump. That's a big jump.
Just going to make a day out of it.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, watch it in half an hour increments. Take meal breaks. Go for a walk. Yeah, there you go.
Wait, so
what were the movies?
I watched The Social Network.
Okay.
That one about Facebook, which I know nothing about Facebook. I thought it was really good. And the other one is just a crazy long title, but it's the movie about Ted Bundy, the serial killer with Zac Efron. Have you seen it?
I have not, but I've heard.
I thought Zac
Efron. Everybody
has
seen it. Yeah,
from playing point guard for the Wildcats to doing this role, like crazy. I thought he did a really good job. I haven't seen it,
so I can't say. But I have seen The Social Network. I think I saw it when I was really young, so I don't really remember. But I remember that Zuckerberg, a little bit of a scammer, correct?
Yeah, a little bit of a nut job, but that's what you got to be to go to the top, you know? So
a couple billion later, and he doesn't care that he scammed people.
Exactly, and you know, he had to pay a couple billion. Not, you know what? I'm not going to spoil the movie. Let's just get into.
Oh yeah, some no NFL spoilers for the movies. It's like 2 decades old.
Everyone's seen these. All the movies I watch, everyone's seen.
Yeah.
But we might as well get into some football talk today, considering so much has happened. We talked a lot on the live stream about sort of signings that were going on the fly, but there have been a couple that have happened since. And the big one is Kenny Golladay, really. And the chat in the live stream was, they were being a little smart here.
A little bit of trolling.
They were trying to trick us while we were on live, thinking that, you know, we don't have notifications turned on or anything. But they were persistent in saying Kenny Golladay to the Ravens, Kenny Golladay to the Giants, trying to make us think that it was actually happening right now. Of course, it happened a few days later. But your beloved Kenny Golladay to New York, what are your thoughts on the move?
Okay, well, initial thoughts. So I was at work when the trade went down, so I just saw it. I said, that's good, 4 years. I would have liked him go. Initially, I was like, should have just signed 1 year and then, you know, signed a huge contract when the cap goes up. But in the end, it's really smart. He's had a ton of injuries. Not a ton, but he's had some injury issues. And $40 million guaranteed. It's a smart play for him just on his part, his agent. Like, you know what I mean? Play it safe. You don't want to – because if he – let's say he signed an $8 million deal, something like Juju signed or 10. Because the Bears apparently offered him double digits for one season. But – and then he got hurt. Then he's completely screwed himself out of a huge contract. So he took it a bit early, maybe a little bit less in the end. But in terms of Kenny Golladay and his camp, I would be thrilled. And if you're the Giants, here's the big issue. This is how the contract breaks down. I wrote it down just so there's no mess ups. So he's $40 million guaranteed. Next year's cap hit is like 4.8 million, I believe. So that, you know, it's very reasonable. But then the last 3 years of his deal, the cap hit is $21 million a year. At the end of that contract, he'll be 32 years old. 32-year-old wide receiver right now, AJ Green. People think that wide receivers last longer than they do. And, you know, oh, like 32, that's not that old. But wide receivers can kind of phase out pretty quick. So that's the concern there. But overall, I think it's a, you know, it's an exciting move for the Giants, I'd say.
A couple things I picked up from what you just said there. First of all, Kenny Golladay, I feel like we all think he's younger than he is because he really hasn't been a top receiver for that long. But I think he came out of college at around 23, 24 years old because he's 27 now. I think he's been in the league for only 4 years.
Yeah.
So, yes, when players come out late, obviously they're older, quicker in their career. But interesting about the cap hit because – they gave Leonard Williams all this money and the Giants were already a team with not a lot of wiggle room when it comes to salary cap. So I kind of felt like, okay, if they're going to get Golladay, it's going to be really tough. Obviously the way they structured it, it's only costing them, would you say $5 million this season?
Yeah, 4.8, $5 million next season. Yeah.
The new media deal that the NFL just signed, all these teams are banking on the salary cap, not just going up a little bit, but absolutely shooting through the roof. Because in a normal non-COVID implication year, it was $198 million. This year, I think it's $182.5 million. So they're assuming that it's not just going to go back to $198 million. It's going to go back to well into the $200 million range. If it's $220 in a few years, I would not be surprised. So I like how the Giants structured that deal. In terms of guaranteed money, you said only $40 million of it is guaranteed. When he's 32 years old, that $21 million cap hit, I could see them if he's a guy like AJ Green. Because if Kenny Golladay loses a little bit of speed, he's already not that fast. Yeah. So that's going to be a big problem. He's not a guy that gets separation. So we'll see down the road how the deal is for the Giants. But like you said, it's a great deal for Golladay. You've seen some of these guys taking the one-year contract, like a Will Fuller, that's sort of banking on having a really strong season. And then capitalizing on an inflated salary cap. Obviously, Golladay took a different approach, but I think it's a good contract for him. I think it's very manageable for the Giants and what they can do. And if they want to get out of it later down the road, it's not a huge deal. But in terms of fit, this is such a prove it year for Daniel Jones. Last year, we saw the Giants have a what I'd call a top 10 defense, And I think they just added Adoree Jackson. It might be even better next season. They have a phenomenal secondary, and the defensive line's getting there. It's very interesting because now this, to me, this team is ready. They've improved the O-line. Obviously, they've gotten Daniel Jones some weapons. Saquon Barkley is in his prime, and he's not getting any younger, which is crazy to say. He was only drafted a couple of years ago, but we know how running backs have a shelf life. This is huge for Daniel Jones.
Well, I mean, I was going to say that, but you're right. Everything you said was right. But last year, if you look at the Giants, everybody was, oh, like, you know, bright future, rebuilding. You know, Daniel Jones struggled a bit. He got hurt. Still a little bit of a turnover issue, but, you know, great defense. Saquon got hurt. It kind of felt like a wash for the Giants on offense. And, you know, they had a chance to win the division, but only because of just how terrible that division was last year. Now the team's rebuilt. There is no more rebuild. The only question mark in this, frankly, the whole team in the salary cap era, because you can't be perfect everywhere. The only question mark, like you said, is Daniel Jones. He has all the pressure this year. He really is. I look at this team and I compare it to, it must have been Trubisky's first year with the Bears. Elite defense.
You think they have that good of a roster?
Well, no. What was I about to say? So elite defense, but not as good as that Bears defense, but much more capable on offense.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
A lot better weapons. I mean, look at their wide receiving corps. So you have Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Kenny Golladay, and they just signed John Ross, who, you know what, we know he can fly, so he might be some sort of gadget player that they sub in a couple times a game, and maybe there's a splash play there. I can't think of, like, that's, how many more wide receiving corps are better than those three? Not many. Oh, yeah. And also Kyle Rudolph, capable tight. Now you have two capable tight ends. Evan Engram, a little bit of a drop issue last year. Hey, but
that's a Pro Bowler. That's a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, that may be the most ridiculous. Him and Xavier Rhodes have the two awards on this show for the most ridiculous Pro Bowlers ever.
Hey, but last time you said that, Xavier Rhodes bounced back. So there we might be in for an Evan Engram bounce back season.
I'm not saying he can't bounce back, though. That's my point. So you do have two capable tight ends. Is it a top five wide receiving core now?
I think that might be a little bit high, but Darius Slayton is a very good player. And I think a lot of people undervalue him. I'll say this about him. He's definitely not a number one, but now that Golladay will be, you know, attracting so much attention, and Golladay's more than capable of taking a double team just because of how physical he is and how he can, like you say, you call him the best jump ball receiver in the NFL.
One of them.
You
can
put him
right?
over DeAndre Hopkins. Well, you said that on the live stream.
So no, but I'm saying everybody can agree that he's one of the best.
Yes, for sure. I think Darius Slayton is going to have a lot of opportunity next season. And you mentioned the John Ross signing. I love that signing. I don't know if it's just me that does this, but I hold on to first round picks, and I always try to persuade myself that they still have some sort of value. This guy was a 9th overall pick for a reason, and I know his 40 time sort of skyrocketed him up the draft board. But the fact of the matter is that there was a time where a team saw incredible value in this player. Obviously, pretty much from day one, it didn't work out in Cincinnati. I think his rookie season, he had like one catch and he ended up fumbling the ball.
Yes. Yep.
So it's a change of scenery for him. It's an offense where, you know what, he's coming in. There's no pressure because they're not giving him it's not a big investment, but I think there's going to be opportunity for him to shine in the slot, stretching the field. So they really do have all the weapons. Offensive line is still not great. But 4th overall pick, Andrew Thomas, is going into year 2. He's going to make a jump and get better, as most guys do in the second year. Like, they have some pieces here and there where it's not a revolving door where Daniel Jones is going to be just hit the moment he drops back in the pocket. It really is all riding. If Daniel Jones can succeed with these weapons around him, they are... they're playoff contenders. And I mean, of course, last year they contended for the playoffs, but what did they finish? 6-10, 7-9 on the season.
Yeah, I think 6-10.
It wasn't really, it was a division like we'd never seen before. I think this division is going to get a lot better next year. And I think they should contend for it.
Yeah, I mean, just before we get into really that NFC East picture, what you said about Darius Slayton, if you look at Kenny Golladay, him and Marvin Jones were the duo in Detroit. And Marvin Jones, I mean, he's a good player, but he was elevated so much in Detroit. That's, if Marvin Jones is your number one, he's not doing those things. Kenny Golladay, I'm not going to say he always commands double teams, but if you leave him one-on-one and Daniel Jones has the trust in him, he can bomb that ball deep. And Kenny Golladay, a good percentage of the time, is coming up with that ball. So I think there's a chance you see Slayton and Kenny Golladay have very similar numbers. And it might be, look, we're paying Kenny Golladay all this money, but it's, like you said, it's because he attracts so much attention. He's a true number one, which Darius Slayton at this point isn't. I don't think he'll ever be that, but I think he's a tremendous, he's a 1A, he's a tremendous number two receiver.
That's the last note about Golladay, how much they're paying him. I think there's a very good chance where he doesn't put up the numbers to back up that $18.5 million per year salary. But in the grand scheme of things, this is a move that is going to help your quarterback. So you're paying him for a lot more than just the production that he's going to bring, because I think he's going to help Daniel Jones. And hopefully Daniel Jones takes that next step under him, because like we just spent a ton of time talking about, the franchise is kind of riding on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, after this move and after just the Giants free agency, I can't wait. I can't think of teams that I'm more excited to watch this year than the Giants. I think it's going to be electric.
Yeah, you got a returning Saquon. Obviously, that's a big storyline. And then the uncertainty whether or not Daniel Jones will deliver. And, of course, that defense is just so fun to watch. Part of the reason why they had as many wins as they did last season. I think they started off 1-7 last year. Yeah. And that's where they sort of reminded me of the Dolphins under Brian Flores in his first year, because I think Joe Judge is the right guy there, and he's turned that culture around. But who's the favorite in the NFC East now? It was a tire fire a year ago. Obviously, Dak Prescott's going to be healthy this year. The Cowboys gave him a ton of money, which I think we talked about on last episode. The Washington football team, NFC East, current division champs, they made a couple nice moves as well. I thought they had a wonderful free agency. And then the Eagles, I think we can all sort of push them aside. They have a ton of things. They're still paying Carson Wentz $35 million. They don't even know he's not their quarterback anymore. So I think respectfully, we'll leave the Eagles, unless you have other ideas. I don't know.
They have the best coach in the division. Let's not forget.
That's true. That's true. That is very true.
Sirianni. Keep it simple.
Great. So coach. I guess we'll sort of, like, I like what both the Giants and Washington did. I really do. And I think they have great defenses. It's just really hard for me, because Dak is the best quarterback, and it's by a huge margin in that division. And I think that's tough to overcome. So I think right now I'd put the Cowboys as the favorites. I don't know what you're thinking on this.
I mean, I think most people would agree the Cowboys are the favorites. Here's the thing. Now, if you look at the Giants and Cowboys offense, there are some similarities. Star running back, I think Zeke's going to bounce back. I think he's going to, I have to believe that he's going to get back to who he was, or else it's just one of the biggest fall offs of a running back that I can remember. But I think he'll be back this season, and I think he'll be top five running back in the league. And Cowboys fans, he'll be the best running back in the league for you guys, just because you've always thought he's the best. But yeah, star running back surrounded by a fantastic receiving core. But I mean, if you look at those offenses, I mean, yeah, the Cowboys have the advantage at quarterback and offensive line. I think the Cowboys, I'd still give them the edge right now, although obviously their offensive line is not what it was in like Dak and Zeke's rookie year. But then the Giants have the big edge on the defense. And I think the Giants are coached better. I don't like Mike McCarthy. I think it's fair to give the Cowboys the edge by a slim margin, just because, like you said, at the end of the day, it's a quarterback, like it's a quarterback league. And Dak Prescott has shown that he's better than Daniel Jones. And unless Daniel Jones takes that step, then I think the Cowboys are favorites. I will say this. If Daniel Jones can become a good game manager, the Giants win the division.
I'll say this about those two teams, and I'm going to throw Washington into this conversation as well, because I think Washington and New York are very similar. I love their coaching. I think Ron Rivera did a phenomenal job last year. Washington and the Giants play hard every single week. And when you have a good defense, I feel you're a more consistent team. So the Cowboys, I think they have definitely the higher ceiling because of all the firepower they have. And if their defense is able to show some promise, they have Dan Quinn coming in this year at a defensive coordinator, which is a move that I really liked. So I think by far the Cowboys have the highest ceiling. That being said, I think the floor of the three teams, I don't see myself being extremely disappointed by Washington and New York. But I think there's a chance the Cowboys, it's a disaster on the defensive side of the ball once again. And Dak Prescott can throw 400 yards. He can throw 500 yards. There's going to be some weeks they win because of that. There's going to be some weeks that it's still not enough. I don't know. With the Cowboys, I still have to see it until I believe it. So while I do think they have the highest ceiling, I wouldn't be surprised if they're 8-8 once again, or 7-9, even with Dak and even with him having a great season. I don't know. That's just me.
Here's why I potentially see the Cowboys and the Giants both making the playoffs, because I think Washington takes a step back this year. The quarterback situation is a bit of a mess. And when you're going against, like, the Giants have a really good defense. And, like, okay, here's the thing. Washington doesn't have the best defense in the division, I believe.
You think the Giants' defense is better than Washington?
I think the Giants' defense is better than Washington.
I can't say I agree.
Fair enough. We can disagree. and I think they have, and out of those three teams, by far, I believe they have the worst quarterback situation. And if you want to get really whatever, they have the worst running back situation, and they have the worst wide receiving core.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm right.
It's very well. Okay, when you're comparing the Cowboys receiving core, which is probably the best in the NFL, maybe the Bucs is better. It depends if they can keep Antonio Brown. The Giants, I'd put Kenny Golladay above Terry McLaurin. But I love that Curtis Samuel signing. I'm very, very high on the player for Washington. And there's two different schools of thought with the quarterback situation. They pretty much, last year they won with Alex Smith. They went and got who I think is the polar opposite of Alex Smith. Alex Smith's very conservative, doesn't like to throw the ball down the field. He won't turn the ball over, but he's not going to really push the ball down the field. He's not going to put up any great numbers. They went out and got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is just your textbook gunslinger. He doesn't care if it's triple coverage. He's slinging that ball in there. If it's intercepted, doesn't matter. He's going to go out on the next drive and do the same thing, and it very well might be a touchdown. That's just how he plays. I think Washington has the best defense in the division. I think they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. So, I don't know. I'm very high on the football team, but... I guess to wrap up this, because we've been on this for a very long time, I'd still say the Cowboys are the favorite, but I like what Washington and New York are both building.
Quickly, who finishes ahead of each other, the Giants or the football team?
If I were a betting man, which I probably won't bet on this because I just don't know if I can trust Daniel Jones, I think I'd pick Washington.
Wow. Just because
I know what I'm getting. I know what I'm getting with that defense, and I know what I'm getting with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And there's going to be some really ugly weeks, but there's going to be some weeks where it really works out.
If Washington is better than the Giants this year, the Cowboys run away with the division.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Only time will tell.
Cowboys defense, I think when Washington comes to town and when New York comes to town, I think those quarterbacks are going to have all day, because that Cowboys pass rush is not scaring me at all. So I don't know. We'll see how things go. We'll keep tabs. You know what? Last year we talked about the NFC East or the NFC Least pretty much every single week, just because of how bad it was. Who knows? It might be a bit of a more interesting year come September. That is going to do it all for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in if you made it to the end. Make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Subscribe to us on YouTube. I, you know me, I always forget to say something in these wrap-ups. So what did I miss this week?
I don't think you missed much. We're almost at 200 subscribers. We're now 10 away. So that's massive. I'm sure we'll get a 200 subscribers plaque from YouTube.
Put it up in the background.
Yeah, that'll be in the mail. And leave a comment. Only negative. So leave your comment at the bottom five teams in the league.
I don't care about the top five. Or the worst free agency signing. There you go.
Just all negative.
On Instagram. Yeah. @fromthenosebleeds.pod. But we will see you next week.
Have a good week, guys.